Title of the message today is All Things. All Things. Romans 8, chapter we've been in for the last, six, 7 weeks now. Now we're on verse number 28. Chapter 8, verse number 28. We're only reading one verse today. And it's a verse that in 35, heading towards 36 years of full-time pastoral ministry, I have quoted many times. And the interesting thing is that many of you, and at all the number of other churches that I've been to, many people quote this verse as something that encourages them and strengthens them. So it's good that after last week on our sermon on groaning, that we're now on verse 28. But I don't want you to forget that that's where we've come from. Paul has just spent a whole period of time, he says, and all of creation groans. And he says, even we ourselves groan. And then he says, and the Holy Spirit prays. He groans through us in words that are, in sounds that are too deep for words. That's the context that we've come out of into this verse, which says in verse number 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I'd like to spend some time just talking about, five phrases in that one verse. The first phrase is not the very first phrase of the verse. It's part way down. It's actually the end of the verse where it says this. Who love God, those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. You see, there's a lot of promises in Scripture. A lot of times when God says to us, I will do this. But so often those promises are actually accompanied by an if clause. It doesn't say if in this verse, right? But it does say to those. So in other words, those that will do these things, this is the promise. Those who love God. Now that's pretty easy. So many people, even if they don't really care for God all that much, would say, oh, I love God. Now, who knows what God they're talking about? Who knows what they would describe as God in that moment? There's a number of people that actually would say, no, I hate God, or I don't even believe there is a God. But the truth is that we, sitting in this room, I would say most of us, otherwise why would we come to a church on a Sunday morning, would say, I love God. Now, maybe you're in this room because you're saying, I need to know if there is a God. I need to find God. I'm hoping that in this service that I will experience who God is. And if you're here for that purpose, my prayers have been really about you all week long. Because I want every one of us to know and experience who God is. So loving God, saying we love God, is something that comes pretty easily to our tongues and to the words. But the reality is, it's not just about words. Because the very next part of that says, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, that's an interesting phrase. Because it implies some form of action, or at least a form of direction that we're going to have our life going in. That we are called to be going from here to somewhere, and that somewhere is described in this verse as his purpose, God's purpose. Now maybe that's what church sermons have been for the last 2,000 years, talking about what is the purpose of God? What is your purpose in the kingdom of God? And maybe we spend a lot of time thinking about that in our own lives. How do I know what God's purpose is? See, there's not many of you in this room that would say, I'm called to be the pastor of a church. And listen, my feeling is this, don't become a pastor of a church unless you're called to be a pastor of a church. Right? Because although it looks easy just standing up here and talking for 30 minutes once a week, there's actually quite a bit more that goes into this thing. And I would just say that many of you would say, no, I'm not called to be a pastor. Some of you would. And some of you may not know it yet, but God may still do that in your life. But the truth is that I am called to be a pastor. And so that's what I do. I work to be called according to his purpose in my life. But so often, maybe you look at your life and you think about what you do. Maybe you work repairing trucks. Maybe you sell insurance. Maybe you are retired. I don't know what, well, actually, I know what most of you do. But I don't know how you and I think about exactly what we do. Because we separate sometimes what is spiritual and what is just life. And I don't really think God wants that for us. I think God wants us to have this kind of cohesive approach to who we are, what we do, and that it is all a part of we being called according to His purpose. Because it doesn't matter whether you sit at a desk and work at a computer all day, or whether you go to school, or whether, it doesn't matter. What matters is when you are doing what you are called to do, are you doing it called by Him? Now you may be sitting out there thinking, I don't even like my job. But that's okay. Still do it as unto the Lord. And offer it to Him called according to His purpose. You see, Jesus and several others in scripture writing said different things to us. Jesus Himself said to His disciples, He said, therefore go ye into all the world and make disciples, teaching them all things, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's this sense that we have been given a call by God to actually do a specific thing. In the letters, the epistles, it's written to us that it says you, Paul is writing it as you, but I consider myself as part of you in this sentence, right? We, every one of us, are supposed to do the work of the evangelist. You see, there are purposes that we are to be representatives of Christ in this world. And we don't always do it well, but it doesn't matter what we're doing. It matters why and how we do it. And I would just say that every one of us, if we want to experience the blessing of this promise in the scripture, that we first have to get a hold of what does it mean to love Jesus and to be called according to His purpose. And every one of us has to answer that for ourselves. We have to dig into His Word. I can tell you this, that one thing it means is that when we read this Word, that it's not just a book of suggestions to us. That it actually describes the way we're supposed to live our lives. If we're called according to His purpose, then we have to do things His way. Love the Lord, called according to His purpose. That's the if. That's the, God will do something if we will live for Him. Okay? What will God do? I guess that's really what we mostly talk about here, right? When you quote this verse, don't you mostly just say, oh, God will work all things together for good? And just stop right there. Don't we just mostly do that? God will work all things together for good. And we may even throw in an extra word. Read 28 again. And we know that all things work together for good. A lot of times we add an extra word in there. We add the word my. All things work together for my good. Well, let's talk about all things for a minute. All things. I recognize that there are seasons in life where it feels like everything is really going well, you know, and you hear people describe it like, I'm living the dream. And they're just loving life and everything's going good and they have this mountaintop kind of experience and you can't wake up in the morning except you're smiling already. I mean, there are times, seasons like that. But there are other seasons too when it's like, can I go to bed already? This day's just been long enough. And I've dealt with people enough. And I can't respond to anybody well right now. So I just want to go to bed. And sometimes life gets that way where the struggle is just almost paramount in our life to where it's like, I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody. Honestly, I just don't want to do anything. And that's why we have things like suicide rates that are rising, because people get to the place where they reach the end of their ropes and they think, if I don't have any hope, what's the point of all of this? And literally life gets there sometimes. So we've got this perspective that it's easy for us in those moments that life is good and we're waking up with a smile and we're going to bed with a smile and we're having great dreams of flying and swimming and racing faster than a cheetah and all different kinds of things, you know. Oh, you don't have those dreams? Sorry, but. And other times when it's not that way, but God says it's not just the good times of life. It's not just the mountaintop experience. It's not just the times when we're full of smiles, but it's all things, even the things that are difficult, even when every moment is a struggle, even when depression threatens to overwhelm and flood you. God says in all of those things, if you love God and are called according to His purpose, in all of those things, it says, all things work together. Work together. I just be honest with you, some of you wish my sermon was over already about 5 minutes ago. Because we get to the place in life that we feel like I should get the maximum joy and the maximum return and the best experience in a matter of moments. It's not like that's a new thing. You know, even back in the day when I was being raised as a young child, when every television show had Dad coming home and Mom with makeup on and hair done, greeting him at the door and dinner already on the table. And if it wasn't that way, the dad got mad. That's the theme of all the 60s sitcoms. So just so you're aware, if you want to go back and watch some of those, that's how it always was. Even back then, it was, I have an expectation, and if my expectation isn't met and met quickly, life isn't good. And we experience it in even greater ways today, because there's a fast food restaurant on every corner in every city other than Hood River. And when you feel like, man, my shoes are not fitting me well, you literally go online and you order a new pair of shoes, and very often they show up the next day. But it ingrains into us that what is going to happen needs to happen quickly. And we're Pentecostal. So we live and love the suddenly of the Bible. You know, where everything was going bad and suddenly Jesus showed up and everything's going good now. Where he was lame for 30 years and suddenly Jesus showed up and then he went walking and leaping and praising God. Well, that was Paul and Peter and John. But anyway, there was a man lame from birth and Jesus showed up and suddenly he's seeing. And we love the suddenly of the Bible. And so we hang out in this area that says, and in even ingrained in us more by the culture we live in, that says all these bad things really shouldn't be in my life. And suddenly Jesus is going to change them. But there's a phrase in Romans 8:28 that is works together. I don't know if you're like me, but when I read those two words, I don't think suddenly. I think process. That they work together. The good things of life, the bad things of life, all things in a process working together. And we have to exhibit some kind of patience in this whole thing. The word that comes to my mind as I think about this process of all things working together is the word trust. You know, you could perhaps use the word faith, but the reality is that our faith informs who we believe God is. That faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That there's this principle going forward that our faith rises up and it becomes a life of trust. Becomes a life of trust. And this is part of those who are called according to His purpose. That we live in a position of trust. And though we can't see that all things are good right now, in fact, some things feel really bad, we can't see that all things are good right now, what we can trust is God has a plan and a purpose. I mentioned to you that some of us like to put in that sentence, all things work together for my good. I don't know that that is a fair interpretation of this verse. Because here's the deal. Let's take, for example, a man named John. John was the cousin of Jesus, or second cousin, whatever. He's related, right? And he was a person who was preparing the way as he grew up for Jesus. Now, let's talk about John's experience for a moment. He's later known as John the Baptist because he had the great privilege of baptizing Jesus. He had incredible privilege of being called by Jesus, the man who brought the most powerful, the greatest message that ever was. And there is this sense that John had great privileges and advantages in his life. And yet there were also some things that we would say, that wasn't very good either. And for instance, he lived in the wilderness. I don't know what you like to eat or what you're considering eating for lunch, but John ate wild locusts. Sounds appetizing to me. Plenty of protein. John wore camel skins. And I just have to tell you that I don't believe the camel skins were cleaned very often. Because it was a desert kind of place. So John's life, in many respects, you'd think, I wouldn't want that life at all. So I don't know if you could say of John through those experiences that he's able to say, man, all things are working out for my good, I'll tell you that right now. And in fact, just shortly after he baptized Christ in the river, he was beheaded. And none of us would want that story to be written about us, right? And so here it is, all things. Now, this verse isn't written yet, but it's still a principle that is a part of who God is. Because John, he is doing everything loving God and called according to His purpose. And yet, eats locusts, wears camel skins, gets beheaded. Now, I don't know, honestly, what is the condition of the Old Testament saint when he passes away before the resurrection of the dead. I don't know, I really don't know all that, okay? I know I have inklings and ideas based on what the Scripture says, but I'm not positive. You're saying, wait a second, John the Baptist was New Testament, but in many ways he was actually an Old Testament prophet because he came before Christ, before the death and resurrection. So my feeling is he's like the thief who's in paradise with God, but I don't know what all that looks like. Okay? So all things work together. All things work together for my good. I don't know. Could it be that if we're called to love God and called to live according to His purpose, that actually it would be for the kingdom of God, the good of the kingdom of God? And we might not actually understand all of that good until we are with God. I know it seems like we look a long way back and we say, oh, I can see how that works for my good. But I'll be honest with you, there is stuff in my life that's a long way back there that I still can't figure out how it was for my good. Like when I was in junior high and thrown into the girls' locker room. I can't figure out how that was for my good. You know, and you have things in your life that still today don't necessarily make sense, but there's coming a time when the dead in Christ will rise first, when we'll be rise to meet him in the air, where we'll all be transformed, and we will know fully, even as we're fully known. We actually may not know until then some of the things and how it really was that they were working together for our good. Now there are other things that are very hard and very difficult in life that even now I can look back and I can see how in my life it has been cause that they've worked together for my good. Whether that would have been my oldest brother dying or my parents getting divorced, whether it would have been either of those experiences, I can see how both of those experiences, although they were horrible in the experience at the time, actually work to create who I am today. Now I know there are people that would say the negative things in life only work to expose your character rather than build it. And I would say, no, it's both. They expose the character of who you are in the moment, but they build your character as they're working together with all the other things that are happening in your life. And so I can see how some of those negative experiences actually have worked together with the rest of my life to create who I am today. And some of that's good and some of that's not so good. You don't need to ask Janelle for examples. But God has promised that actually those who love God and are called according to his purpose, that all things will work together for good. And that we spend our life maybe not seeing or understanding or knowing exactly how that happens, but that demands a life of trust, a life of faith that says, I will walk in obedience. There is an old hymn. It says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And that really is something that this verse to me speaks very, very loudly of. This sense of loving the Lord, of trusting his purposes in my life, of walking according to his purpose, being called to be somebody and to do something for him. We know the scripture that talks about we were created for good works that God, even from before we were born, established that we would be a part of. Last phrase I want to talk about is the first phrase in the entire verse. And we know that God causes. God causes. Now, I'm not suggesting that that verse takes away our responsibility at all. We already started with the thought of we have to love him. We have to be called according to his purposes, okay? We already started with all of that. But I don't know if you know this, but there's a group in our world today that really feel like because the prophecies that they read in the Bible lead them to believe that before the end of time comes, before Jesus returns, before all of that final days things happens, that the Jews need to be back in Israel. And so there's a whole group of people that spend their life trying to make it easier and trying to help and accommodate the Jews' return to Israel. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but the way I read Scripture is God's the one who's making the prophecies come to pass. And in the same way here, I just be honest with you, sometimes I get in the way. I tend to be a fixer. I tend to see what's going on, evaluate the problems, and just jump in and say, I can make a difference there. I can do something to change that. That's where it should be. I'm going to help it get there. That's the same thing I was talking about the whole Zionist movement. that they can see where it should be, so they're going to jump in and make it happen. Can I tell you that so often that has not worked out well for me? And maybe you can give the same testimony that there are times when you jumped in to try to make something happen and it just actually backfired. Now, I'm not suggesting we don't do anything. The Bible's very clear that we are to love Him. How do we love Him? We love Him by reading His Word. We love Him by obeying His Word. We love Him by praying. We love Him by worshiping. We love Him by what we're doing this morning, gathering together as the church. We love Him by loving those who are unlovely in our life. We love Him by being generous and sharing. We love Him in so many ways, and the Scripture is complete, that we encourage one another, that we build one another up, that we pray for one another over and over, not just for Him, but also for the body of Christ. Yeah, I'm not suggesting that we don't do anything, that we don't have responsibilities, but I am suggesting that at some level we have to come to grips with the idea that we're not the ones who are going to make all things work out together for good. We're not the ones who have to look back there and say, oh man, that was pretty bad. How do I make it be good? We're not responsible for that. God is the one who causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And that, again, brings me back to this idea that says, will we live a life of faith evidenced by trust? So the Bible talks about people dying. And it talks about the hurt that we will have, the grief that we will have as people die. And the thing that it says is this, that we grieve when people are gone. We grieve, but not like those who have no hope. And so the reality is that this is talking about the same kind of process, that yes, we may be walking through a difficult time and we have the same kind of experience as everybody else in that difficult times come into our life. But we have also a different experience in that we walk through those times and we walk in that struggle and we have that pain, but not as those who have no hope. No, we walk in hope because there are three things that remain: faith, love, and hope. I know I set them out of order. It's okay. I didn't change the context because I didn't go to the next verse, which says the greatest of these is love. But the reality is that hope never fails. And if we don't keep our minds and hearts centered on Jesus, hope will begin to fail. The only way the devil wins, the only way the enemy of your soul wins, the only way that difficult place in your life wins is if you let hope die and you give up. This is one of the first really great feeling verses in Romans chapter 8. There's Romans 8:1 is pretty good, right? But then, honestly, an awful lot of Romans 8 goes through this whole process of struggling and difficulty and groaning, and I consider the things, the light afflictions of this world, not worthy to be compared with the glory that's yet to be revealed in me, and different things all the way through until you get to here, and suddenly all things work together for good. But we're not at the end of the good verses yet, right? We have what can separate me from the love of God. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. There is no weapon, that's not in this verse, but it's like that, who can make a charge against the believer. There's great things that are yet to come, and this is the beginning. So we get so caught up in this struggle that we begin to lose sight of hope. And this morning, I would just encourage you, don't give up. Keep having faith. Keep trusting God. And don't give up. Maybe you're here this morning and you actually came thinking, I really want to know if God is real. I really want to know if I can connect to Him. I really want to know if these good things could be for me. And they can be. But it's going to be a process. And it's going to start with loving God and being called according to His purpose. And you have to make a choice. To say, I choose to love God and to live for Him. And this morning, even as I'm closing in prayer, perhaps you want to make that commitment to Jesus. And I'm not going to call you out by name. I'm not going to call you to walk forward to the front. But I am going to say, if that's you and you'd like me to remember you in my closing prayer, just raise your hand and let me see it. Yeah. Amen. Let me ask you to join me in standing. Perhaps you're here today and you feel like, man, I love God. I feel like I'm called according to His purpose. But right now, I'm struggling holding on to hope. At the end of the service, these altars are going to be open. Now, I will say this. If people start moving chairs while you're here at the altar, just ignore them. Okay? But just spend a moment with the Lord. And just confess to Him, I'm struggling, God. And I need Your help. Whether it's at these altars or right where you are, it doesn't really matter that much. Sometimes stepping out and coming forward actually makes a difference that we don't think could be a difference. Lord Jesus, this morning as we've gathered, we really do want to hold on to the idea and the verse here that says all things work together for good. And Lord, we feel today like maybe we are just right on the verge of being flooded and hopelessness is just a tangible thing in our life. And I just pray, Lord God, that You would help us. That though we may not be able to see right now how things are, that You would give us the strength, the courage, to continue to live and to walk and be called according to Your purposes, Lord God. Lord, I do pray that maybe we don't feel like we've had a connection to You at all, but even by the hands that were raised, Lord God, we pray that Your Spirit would just rest upon us. That it would be a witness to us that we are Your sons, that we are Your daughters. That You paid the price for us. And that just by making the choice, we become a part of Your family. And that we walk in hope, knowing that You cause all things to work together for good. To those who love God. To those who are called according to Your purpose. Jesus, we ask Your blessing. In the mighty name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Don't forget this evening at 5 p.m. is the potluck. Also, for those that can hang out for a little bit and help us move some chairs, we appreciate it. May God who gave us His Son Jesus, may He allow His Spirit to rise up in us, that hope would be ours and that we would walk trusting Him. God bless you and God be with you. Amen.